Elliot started his quoted scripture, and he started on the wrong scripture. He was going to do a different one. That's what kind of got him confused a little bit, got a little bit of stage fright. But that boy can quote scripture better than I can, probably. But he's pretty awesome at that. So I'm thankful for the word that God places in our heart, that puts in our mind, our hearts, and our being. I don't know about you. There's been times I didn't. That's all I had to draw on. That's the only resource I had, was what was already hit in my heart, what was already in my mind. I didn't have my Bible handy. I didn't have a concordance. I didn't have my cell phone or my tablet that I could, look something up real quick. I had to rely on the word that was in me, quote the scripture, and declare God and declare the goodness of God. And so I'm thankful for the word that, you know, we get the word in our heart and our mind in so many ways. Like, it might not always be the written word for you. It might be a song of worship, a psalm. It might be, a quotation. It might be something that God just drops in your heart. And have you ever just been seeking God for something or trusting God for something and just felt like God just dropped something into your heart, and when he did, it's yours? Like, that's mine. I'm hanging on to that. I had a lady share one time at a women's conference. She said, when I hear something that comes across in the word that speaks to me, she said, I just reach out and say, I'll take that. She said, I just grab a hold of it. She said, I'll take that. That's for me. So I'm thankful for the presence of the Lord. I'm thankful for the goodness of the Lord. I'm thankful for his anointing that flows. I believe that the anointing breaks yokes of bondage. The scripture says that by the anointing, yokes are broken. And I believe that anointing oil, it's an essential oil. It's an essential oil. We're on a big thing about essential oils right now. Can I just tell you that God had essential oils in the scriptures way before they ever came out by in little brown bottles? And the blending of the spices that would be together in the house for worship, and the spices that would come together in a blend that would offer an incense to the Lord. I'm so thankful that we are from different spices and different anointings in the house. Aren't you glad that your anointing is different from my anointing? And that your spice is different from my spice. And that your callings and your giftings are different. That's what makes the body so unique. It's what makes it so powerful. And then when all of those anointings, those callings and giftings begin to flow in the body, wow, it's just beautiful to watch it unfold and to watch what God does. And so I just give him the honor today that he is due. And we've been talking for a while now. I felt like the Lord laid a series on my heart to do and to share with the body, and I believe it's for more than just this body, but the scripture that he gave me is out of Psalm 61, 1 and 2. If you don't know it by now, you probably have it memorized by heart, because we've been going over and over it. If you don't, I encourage you to memorize it. Go ahead and put up Psalm 61, Carlin. I encourage you to memorize it, because I'll guarantee you there are times in your life where this scripture will minister to you. And I was talking to Beth this morning about a song that's been stuck in my head. I said, do we do this song yet? She said, it's on the list. I said, do it. Get it. Because it is stuck in my head. And I said, besides that, it goes along with this series. So we need to, get on that song. So she's on it. But the scripture that the Lord gave me, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And I will dare say that probably there is not one person sitting under the sound of my voice today that has not at some point or some time in your life been overwhelmed by something. Overwhelmed by grief. Overwhelmed by shame. Overwhelmed by problems or stress or things that just want to overwhelm our minds. And am I in the house by myself today? But there are just some times, and we can say that, we are blood-bought, born-again, spirit-filled, led by the Holy Spirit believers. But there's still some times when our mind becomes unfocused. And when our mind becomes unfocused, then our heart becomes overwhelmed. Can you agree with me on that? Because what happens is when our mind is focused and steadfast on Him, and you know, I love what Miss Lexi shared with us this morning. Beautiful dance, beautiful word. That you know, the song is called "Gracefully Broken." There's times in my life when I've felt broken. But it was the woman with the alabaster box that in her brokenness poured out a fragrance that filled the room. See, God won't bring, He doesn't bring things on you to judge you, and He doesn't bring sickness on you to process you. But I'll guarantee you, in the midst of it, He will stand with you. And there's times in our life where we question why things happen. And what we need to question is, how is God going to make something beautiful out of where I am right now? Because I want to tell you, God can take the broken pieces of your life. He can take the brokenness and where you've been and pour in a little bit of oil and pour in a little bit of wine. And when He does, He makes something beautiful in His season and in His time to raise you up out of where you are. And to create a strength in you. Do you know that scars are actually a skin that is stronger once it's healed than it was before it was injured? I told you some stories not too long ago about some scars that I have. And then I realized I must be accident prone. So I won't tell any scar stories today. But about breaking both my legs and, you know, all of those kind of things. And but do you know that when you get a scar where that skin heals back, it's actually tougher and stronger there. And it doesn't hurt anymore, but it's a witness that a healing took place in my life. Can I just tell you, sometimes there can be some scars in your life, but you don't have to live in those scars. You can live in the healing of it and look at it as a testimony and say, that's where I used to be, but I'm not there anymore. I'm not living in the pain of that. I'm not living in the past of that, but God is raising me up to make something beautiful in my life right here. And right now, where I am. And so, there are times when our heart can be overwhelmed. And if we're not careful, our spirit becomes overwhelmed. See, I can get overwhelmed in my body, and I can get wore out, and I can get physically drained. But I got to tell you, I guard my spirit man, because I know that if I let my spirit man get overwhelmed, then I'm down for the count. Because my spirit man is what has the ability to pick me up out of where I am and give me the strength for the day and say, God, you've got this. You've got me in the palm of your hand. Isaiah says he has us tattooed in the palm of his hand. I love that. And that tattoo looks a whole lot like a nail piercing that when he hung on the cross of Calvary and he went back to Judas, he said, Judas, you want to see where you're tattooed in my hand? Put her there, Thomas. There's a nail print right in my hand. I've got you in the palm of my hand. Do you believe that today? Because if you believe that today, you will work and operate out of a life that says, God, you have got me in the palm of your hand, and my life is in submission to you. You will lead me. I love her analogy that she didn't want to give up the teddy bear. But in the other hand of God, there was something even bigger and greater. Something bigger and greater. And I've had times in my life and I would say, why, Lord, why? Only to find out in hindsight that God was working something that I didn't see. Did not see it coming. Yet God was at work on my behalf. And so I want to talk a little bit today on burnout. Anybody in the house, don't raise your hand, you don't have to. Anybody in the house ever suffer from burnout from time to time? Some of you go and just throw it up there anyway. You can throw them both up if you want to. There are just times when you just feel spent. You just feel empty. You just feel burnt out. The definition I wrote down for that is when the spark is gone and there's no desire for betterment. You have come to a place that seems like a dead end. And you know, we use the scripture a couple Sundays ago. We talked about the analogy of Martha and Mary. You remember Martha and Mary? Jesus is coming to the house. So you know Miss Martha, she's going to have to set out the fine china. She's going to have to make all the best desserts. She got to get the dinner ready. She got to have fresh flowers on the table. She got to make sure the floors is swept. She got to make sure everything's done because Jesus is coming. Only in all of her doing, and all of her wonderful working and all of her service, which is wonderful, she forgets something. And she goes to find her sister Mary and says, Lord, won't you make my sister help me do what needs to be done? And Jesus just smiles at them both. He said, Martha, you're cumbered about with much stuff. You're worried. You're sweating the small stuff. How many of you ever just sweat the small stuff and then you realize it's all small stuff? We sometimes get worked up over things that we think, you know, if it's not life-threatening and life-changing, it's probably not worth all the energy you're putting into it to worry about it. But he says to her, he said, Mary has chosen that good part and that she has set at my feet. See, we can do all of the great things and we can work and we can serve and we can do everything that we feel like is good things. And it's all good things and it's necessary at times. But if we don't stop long enough to give ourselves a moment to be fueled up, to be poured into, to be ministered to let God just pour back into you, then we are running on empty, running wild. That was a song. Y'all missed that. But we sometimes feel like we are just running on empty because we don't take the time. And sometimes even you can be in the house serving and miss out on the refilling and the refueling of what God wants to do in you. You can be in a room full of people and feel like you're there by yourself. You can be so overwhelmed and consumed by what you're trying to promote or what you're trying to do that you forget to receive back yourself. There are some times when you just got to catch a breath. You got to get a moment. You know, I told the story a couple weeks ago, and I'll apologize, but I don't apologize because a lot of this stuff overlaps from Sunday to Sunday because it's kind of all tied into one big thing. About when our heart gets overwhelmed. And I told the story of the woman, the widow woman, who had the little bit of meal and a little bit of oil. You remember the story? And we told that. And the man of God comes and makes one more demand on her. Have you ever been the place you think, if one more person puts one more demand on me, I'm running away from home? I'm just glad I'm not in the house by myself today. Let me get right on that. And when does your lack of preparation constitute an emergency on my part? You've been there. Got the t-shirt, right? And so there are just times, and she stands up to go, and he says, go and get me a drink of water. And she stands up in obedience to the word of God and starts to go. And he says, and while you're up, bring me a little cake too. And something snaps inside of her, and she turns and looks at him and says, man of God, I have just a little bit of meal, and I have just a little bit of oil, and I'm going to feed this to my son. My son and I were going to eat this, and then we were going to die. She felt like she had nothing left in her. She was completely empty. She had scraped the bottom of the barrel. But you know what's beautiful about this picture is God will take everything out of there that was yesterday's meal. Come on, somebody. You got to get to the place where he has cleaned out yesterday's meal out of you. And when you have emptied that vessel out, it is prepared and open and ready for a fresh new supply of meal and oil. And because she was obedient, the scripture said God filled her vessel back up with meal. He filled her cruse up with oil. And it was a fresh anointing. It was a fresh word. It was a renewing. It was something new for today, because at the end of yesterday's meal was death. But at the beginning of today's meal, there is an endless supply of the mercy and the grace of our loving Father. Hallelujah. And it sometimes seems like God has put a demand on you, and what he's doing is brushing away the crumbs from yesterday and saying, Lisa, I want to pour something fresh. I want to pour something new. You can't let go of what was yesterday, but I promise if you'll submit it to the man of God, if you'll submit it to the prophetic word, if you were release it to me. I will multiply what you have, and I will pour into you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I will fill you up. I will fill you up. And I can't tell you the times in my life where God has just poured into me and filled me back up. Hallelujah. It was not until the woman broke open the alabaster box, which was everything she had in the world that was precious to her. It is sometimes not until we release those things and submit those things to God that are most precious to us and most valued to us, and we can contain them and we can hold them in that little box and walk around with it all we want to. But when we say, God, I'm going to break open here, I'm going to break out, I'm going to pour out everything I got, and I'm going to pour it on you. And when I do, there's a fragrance that fills the room that everybody experiences. And he said, she didn't just do this unto me. She did this unto my death, burial, and my resurrected. She acknowledges I am her Savior. She acknowledges I am her incense. She acknowledges that I am her treasure. She acknowledges that if she'll submit what she has to me, I will take it and break it open, and I will touch the nations of the earth with what is inside of you. There is value inside of you. There is treasure inside of you. But sometimes we so hold it in, we're either afraid of the crowd, or we're afraid of letting go, or afraid that it's all I have. And what God wants to take is what your little bit and multiply it and submit it and use it to touch those in the house. I love it when I see somebody getting blessed, when I see somebody pouring out, when I see somebody getting anointing in the presence in worship. I'm like, yeah, God, that's what the Holy Spirit does. It goes and it ministers and it touches in places that we don't see. And so there's times in our life where we feel overwhelmed. We may feel burnout. We may feel like we have come to a dead end. We feel like the spark is gone. And it can be, you know, it can be in your job, it can be in your church, it can be in your spiritual life, it can be in your marriage, it can be in your finances, it can be wherever it is in your life. Just a place where you feel like, I need something. I've used the last little bit of oil in my lamp, and I need something. And then God just begins to take us and to fill us up as we submit to him. How many of some of the best times that you'll have with God, it may be right here. It may be right there. It may be in your car going down the road. How many have had a Holy Ghost moment outside of church? Man, I hope you have. Some of my favorite times is, and Kevin might not agree with me on this one. He does the lawn mowing, but he may have a different experience on the lawnmower than I do. When I get on the lawnmower, the Lord speaks to me. Like, there is nothing but the sound of that mower going on, and he talks to me on the lawnmower because it's quiet time. And I have disconnected, unplugged from everything else in my life. For you, it might be sitting by a tree squirrel hunting. It might be in a boat fishing. I know Jesus likes fishing. I know he has anointed boats and fishing. Man, he changed the world with fishermen. But it's not so much about the bait or the hook. It's where our mind has a moment of peace. For you, it might be at the beach with those waves rolling in the sand between your toes. Can somebody say amen? It might be at your house washing dishes at the sink or being who you are. It might be at the office. It might be when you're doing what you do. It might be worship. It might be when you're singing. It might be, but there are moments where we can just, you, me, and Jesus. Sometimes I'll just be riding down the road and I'll have things on my heart, and sometimes they're my concern. Sometimes they're other people's concern. I'll just say, hey, Lord, can we just talk? That's just how I say it. Can we just talk? And I'll just talk out loud. I'll say, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need direction. I need to know what you're saying in this season of my life right here and right now. And everybody else that drives past me in the car, they just think I got Bluetooth on and I'm just listening to the radio, you know, or I'm just talking. It's me and Jesus. But let me know, you have to have time where you can sit aside for a moment and renew your mind. How many know the scripture talks about be by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God, and that you have that moment where you can just, do you know it just helps to talk, to say things out loud? For some, it might help to journal and write them down. We sometimes don't journal and write it down because we don't want nobody else to see it. So tear it out and throw it away. But if it helps you to write it down, write it down. But sometimes our thoughts, getting our thoughts to come, do you know one of our biggest hindrances is because we don't know how to communicate. We don't know how to communicate our thoughts sometimes to each other. We don't know how to communicate them sometimes to the Lord. And so we feel like there's a blockage between us sometimes, when sometimes there's things that could be resolved by just talking about it. Yeah. Even in our relationships and things like that, they'll say, are you okay? Yep. That tone says everything. The word says yep, but the tone said no. And so we learn to read each other, but we communicate in more ways than just words. Do you know that? We communicate by facial expressions. We communicate by inflection in our voice. We communicate by written word, by spoken word. But I believe that there is a refreshing that can come in the Spirit. The scripture says in Ephesians, I believe it is, speaking to yourselves. That's how I know it's okay for me to talk to myself. The scripture says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Because melody in your heart is medicine, right? A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit dries out the bones. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Do you know that laughter is medicine? The last thing I want to do if I'm having a down day is go watch a sad movie. I want to laugh. I want pure comedy. I want pure escapism. I want to rejoice. I want a merry heart. You know, if you've ever seen or been around a baby, when they get a belly laugh, if you ever been around a baby with a belly laugh and it doesn't make you smile, you probably need therapy. You might need some extra help besides. There is just something about the belly laugh of a baby that just makes you giggle, that makes you want to laugh with them. It is just good therapy. It is good medicine. What I want to say to you is all of us find ourselves there, I think, at some place in our life. Maybe not to the level that somebody else does. There's just times where your body is wore out. You physically are weary. There are times when you spiritually are weary. Do you know most of the time it's at a transition point when you don't know where to go from here? Do you know it's transition is a maternal word? It's the word when a woman is about in the last stages of labor and it's time to push. That's the point when everybody wants to go home, right? Change my mind, it's not fun anymore. But on the other side of transition is, but for the joy set before us. But for the joy set before us, you endure the pain of labor because you know that just beyond that, there is a birthing that's about to break place, bring forth in you. You're about to break out, break loose. Something's about to happen if you push through the point where you are right now. Right? And all the ladies said, amen. All the men said, oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Holy Ghost. But I want to read out of Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and just share a couple things with you this morning before we go. I want to read this out of the Message Bible. Matthew 11, 28 and through 30. It's Jesus speaking here, and he's speaking to an audience. He's speaking to an audience that has had the burdens of of law and tradition put on them so much that they were, he said, you have put burdens on my people that they are not able to bear. And there are sometimes that there are things that are put on us that are burdens of men that was never intended for us to carry. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I love that scripture says, casting all of your care on him. Do you know, to cast something, you got to give it a throw. You got to get it away from you. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So Jesus is talking to his audience. He says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on a religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Isn't that what we all desire in our life? If you have come to a place where you are tired, weary, or worn out from whatever means, and Jesus is talking here, and it may seem odd coming from the mouth of Jesus, and again, it's a message translation. He said, are you wore out on religion? He's talking about a religious system that puts you under a bondage that says, unless you look like this, act like this, do like this, then Jesus don't love you anymore. But I come to tell you today that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. He said, are you tired? Are you weary? Are you burned out? Are you burned out in religion? Are you just burned out? Do you feel like you have come to the end of yourself? And then he gives them the answer. He says, come away with me. Find a place with me. Find a place where it's you and I. Watch me. Watch how I live. Watch how I act. Where you can live freely. Where you can experience the freedom in Christ. I'll show you how to take a real rest. How many know Jesus did most of his miracles on the Sabbath day? And the Sabbath day was the day of rest. And so he was continually being challenged because on the day of rest, he would set a woman free who was bowed over for 18 years. Or he would heal a man who laid by the pool of Bethesda for years and years. And he would tell him to rise, take up your bed, and walk. And do you know that most of the religious folk would say, wait a minute. Don't you know that today is the Sabbath day and that you don't do miracles on the Sabbath day? How many know a real rest is when Jesus sets you free from whatever it is that's holding you bondage? Our rest today is a person named Jesus Christ. He is our promised land. And I'm going to tell you what, if it's my son, if it's my daughter that needs a deliverance, I don't care if it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If Jesus wants to do a miracle in my life, I'm going to take it on whatever day he wants to do it. Because here's what I think. The man who created the universe, the man who breathed into man and he had breath and became a living soul, the man who separated the day from the night, who was there with his father when the creation of the world happened, I think he knows what day of the week it is. But he does it to set their religious minds to push them out of the safety zone and say, I didn't call man for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was created for man, that man could be made whole, could be set free, and especially on the Sabbath day. See, there's a man who was born blind. And the question is, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? Now, chances are if he's born blind, he hasn't even had a chance to sin. And so while we're so caught up as to the whys of how it happened, Jesus said that the gift of God might be manifest. And he opens the eyes of the man who's born blind. And then the religious folks in the synagogue say, you healed him on the Sabbath day. And they said, is this the man that was born blind? And they said, well, I don't know, go ask his parents. And they go ask his parents, and his parents said, I don't know, go ask him. And the scripture says, for fear that they might be put out of the synagogue. They were afraid that if this had happened and they had broken the rules of the synagogue, they might be put out of the synagogue because the system they lived under said the Sabbath is more holy and more righteous than the man who created the Sabbath. They would go back to the man and they ask him, are you the one? And he said, who did this? Who made you whole? He said, all I know is once I was blind, but now I see. And see, once your eyes have been opened to the grace and mercy of God, you can't go back to living any other way. You can't go back to living in bondage to a system that says only if you do it on the right day. And so Jesus releases him, and he heals those on the Sabbath, and he sets them free, and he goes to those who are broken and hurt and burned out and wore out and tired and weary. And he begins to restore and to renew and to refresh and to cause them to have life again. But there's a scripture in Exodus, and it says, Exodus chapter 13 through 27. I want to read a couple of scriptures here this morning. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses set to judge the people, and the people stood by Moses for the morning unto the evening. And when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is this thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thou thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning unto evening? And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come out to me to inquire of God. And when they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his laws. And Moses' father-in-law said unto him, the thing that thou doest is not good. Thou wouldst surely wear away both thou and this people that is with thee, for this thing is too heavy for thee. Thou art not able to perform it thyself alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I will give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God, and thou shalt teach them ordinances and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, hating covetous, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And let them judge the people at all seasons. And it shall be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge, so it shall be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so, then thou shalt be able to endure, and all his people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, rulers of thousands, rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of ten. And they judged the people at all seasons, the hard cases they brought unto Moses, but every small matter they judged themselves. And Moses let his father-in-law depart, and he went his way into his own land. I mean, one of the things that Moses did that kept him from burnout was he listened to the voice of his father, his father-in-law, who said to him, Moses, you got to ask for help. And then the second thing I think that Moses did, he asked for help. I need help. I can't bear the burden of the people alone. We've got to share the burden. He said over 1,000, some over 100, some over 50, some over 10. And he shared the burden. I was thinking as I was preparing for the service today and thinking about, this scripture and the advice and the wisdom of Moses' father-in-law that said, you cannot bear the burden alone. You must train those who can operate with you. And I thought how blessed we are in this house and all of our divisions and all of the people and those who serve in the house, whether it be in finance or worship or youth or children's ministry, our food pantries, our men's and women's group, our buildings, maintenance, media, kitchen, hospitality, whatever group it is, that when we all share the load and we each take our division and we each take our anointings and each take our giftings and operate in that space, how much more powerful we are than when one person is trying to accomplish it all. You know, one of the greatest things that you can do even in your household is we share the load. We share the burden. Whether it's on the workplace, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the church, wherever it might be, sometimes the best thing you can do is ask for help. That God send you help. And then ask for those even around you to help and to share the load. I mean, no, it took everyone in Moses' care and in Moses' instruction to get them to the promised land. The next thing that I was thinking about, I was thinking about the story of Elijah, and I've shared this a little bit already in some of the previous series. But I mean, no, when Elijah calls down fire from heaven. We know how powerful he was, right? And he calls down fire from heaven, and then he comes down the mountain, and Jezebel's going to come looking for him. And Moses goes and hides in the cleft of the rock. And as powerful as he was, he hides himself in the cleft of the rock, and Jesus or God comes to him and says to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? And he said, everybody has thrown down your altars, and they have not obeyed your voice, and I'm the only one left. And now they seek to take my life. I mean, no, Elijah is in a space where he feels like he's come as far as he can go. He's used up. He's spent. Mighty, powerful man of God, right? And so God comes by in the wind, and he comes in the earthquake and all of those kind of things. But God speaks to Elijah in the still, small voice. Can I just tell you, sometimes if you'll just get quiet, God will talk. It's sometimes in our silence. I remember my grandmother Ethel singing the song, "Be still and know that I am God." Sometimes God can't speak to me because I don't stop talking long enough. Yeah. I'm telling him all the things he should do and the why-fors and the whatnots and all of those kind of times. Sometimes you've just got to be silent enough to let God speak. And the wisdom that he gives to Elijah, he said, I want you to go anoint a king, and I want you to raise up a successor to follow you. We're not successful if we don't raise up successors. There has to be a ministry that follows behind us that comes to a point where you can step back and say, we have trained the next generation to do what God has called them to do. And I believe in our training, it is not a threat to our ministry in any way. It is a compliment that says the next generation will be more powerful, more mighty, that'll be stronger than what we are because we've poured everything we had into them. And then God's going to take what that is and pour that and multiply that. And the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. We must be able to trust those who we have trained and those who have been anointed to pick up the ministry and do what God has called them to do. And then there was a time in Matthew 6, 30 through 56. It says, and the disciples gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart in a desert place and rest a while. Can I just tell you, Jesus even took his disciples aside and said, guys, let's take a break. Let's come apart and rest a while. Because the demand on them was so big, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by the ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him and ran out thither of all cities and outwent them, came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion towards them, because they were as sheep as having no shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he goes on to do the story of the five loaves and the two fishes. And he shows them the powerful. He models the picture. He feeds the multitude. And then he goes on and they're faced with a storm and they're rocked in the boat. And he said, Master, don't you care that we're perished? And Jesus stands up and he speaks peace to the storm. What I want to say to you is sometimes our quiet place and our time when we draw apart and we rest for a while and we become renewed and we become refreshed and we put the word in our heart is in preparation for us to be able to go back out and face the multitude and say, okay, Lord, you've already did the multitude. You've already packed the loaves and fishes. You've already poured into us. Now help us to pour out to everybody that we come in contact. And so that when things like storms arise, we're not wiped out because we've already had a quiet time and we've already found ourselves in the presence of Jesus and been renewed and be refreshed and be poured into, that God's anointing works from the inside out. I mean, most of the time when we become overwhelmed, it's from the outside in. I was thinking yesterday just how quickly your mood can change when you get a text message or when you get how much a few words can change your day. And then all of a sudden you realize, but you know, Lord, that's what my focus is. My focus is on you. I love the song, and you probably know it. It says, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. And so in those times when it looks like we're surrounded, it looks like we're overwhelmed, it looks like we're weary, tired, or wore out, look up. Because as a servant did, you look up and see that you are surrounded by the host of heaven. And that he's got you in the palm of his hand. Stand to your feet this morning.
I can't believe I've made it this far, but thank God I have. But I was thinking about the generations, you know, when Elliot was up there just this morning, and some of the other little ones that. I can look back over the church and see. That's a blessing. That is such a blessing. You can't realize that until you experience it. You know, you think about it, you think, well, I'll never do that. But I can see four generations. And to see them in the church. But that are scattered in different ways, different places. I thank God today that I can step into the presence of God and say, God, I thank you, and I praise you, and I worship you, what you have done for me. If you do nothing else, save my children. That's what God spoke to me one time when I was really getting discouraged, thinking, why wasn't everybody just pouring in, And the Lord said to me, how many people did Noah get saved? I said, his family, eight. And God said to me, if you get your family saved, you've done what I've called you to do. And I really believe that's the top calling that we can have in our life, is to have our family saved. And the only way we can do that is to live it in front of them. You cannot be in the church and raising your hand and shouting and praising God and then eat the preacher on the way home. You've got to live this thing. You've got to have faith. You've got to have strength. You've got to have encouragement. Praise God. And you've got to live it and walk it in front of them. I just praise God for what he's done for me in that area. I mean, I'm not worried about riches. I'm not worried about any material things. My most important goal was to get my family. I praise God that they are.
Jesus. Wisdom says, ask for help. Train successors. Train your help. And get some rest. Your quiet time with the Lord. Your time of prayer. Your time of knowing the word. Your time of you and Jesus. To renew your mind, to renew your soul, and to renew your body. Amen. He's faithful that when we pour out, he will pour in. He will not let your cruise go empty or your barrel go dry. until he send forth the rain on the earth. But he may desire to remove yesterday's meal so that he can pour in something new today. Amen. Let's just lift our hands in worship today as we wait for the children to come in and just receive a refreshing, a renewing. As I believe we've already experienced in this service this morning, there just was a wave of refreshing and renewing in the house even this morning that I believe God is turning the sails. I believe he is shifting some things even in the spirit on our behalf. And I believe better things are in store in Jesus' name.